4 from verse 35. And then we're reading into chapter 5 as well. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, and reading up to chapter 5 and verse 20. And the same day, when the evening was come, he says to them, "Let us pass over to the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and said to him, "Master, do you not care that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God that you torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the demons besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the demon and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the demon, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the demon prayed him that he might be with him. Albeit Jesus suffered him not, but says to him, "Go home to your friends. Tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Speak to us, we pray, and bless us, Lord, in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, it warns us and advises us, "Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Praise the Lord. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against those that exercise a wicked authority. You see, there is a diabolical, that's a devilish opposition to any attempts to reach out with the good news of salvation to the lost. Something which Jesus had to face, the disciples had to face, and which we will face. The devil is not going to be happy about the gospel being preached and people being saved. And there was an opposition by the enemy, by Satan and satanic forces. And these are satanic forces. There's some satanic forces in what we've read. There are demonic forces. They're different, but they're all part of the same team, working against the Lord. But Jesus had been ministering for quite some time. He'd been in the boat preaching to them and speaking to them. And it says here in verse 35 that we read this evening, in chapter 4, verse 35, it says, "And the same day when the even was come." And I think the same day is the day that started back in chapter 3 somewhere, where Jesus was in the synagogue. In other words, it was the Sabbath day. And all these things had been going on the Sabbath day. And when the even was come, then it was okay from the Jewish point of view to travel. You couldn't travel any distance on the Sabbath day. It was a day of rest. But when the even was come, they began to set sail. The Sabbath was passed, free to travel. And Jesus said, "Let's pass over to the other side." And from Capernaum, where they were, from Capernaum to the other side, opposite Galilee, it's quite a long way down across the Sea of Galilee, it's about 12 miles. So it's quite a distance to travel with the boats they had in those days. And they're heading for the country of the Gadarenes. It's a north to south passage across the Sea of Galilee. And they take Jesus, it says, as he was. He was in the boat preaching, and they take him as he was. He's tired, he's exhausted, and he goes to sleep on a pillow. It says a pillow, but it's not a pillow that we are used to. It would be a cushion across the bench where they might be rowing or something. And the multitude had been sent home, and they took him as he was. And at the end of that day, the even was come. Jesus was tired. Jesus was exhausted. He was in the boat, but he was exhausted. It says other little ships went with them. And what we have before us this evening here, as we look at that scene, before we get to what happened later on, as we look at that scene, we find that this is the man, Christ Jesus. He wasn't some sort of superhero that you read about in the comic strip magazines. Jesus was the man. He humbled himself and became a man, it says in Philippians. He took upon himself the form of a servant and became a man. And as a man, he had to go through those experiences that we go through. In other words, he got tired. God doesn't get tired or weary, but Jesus is the Lord coming to earth, and he became a man. As a man, he got tired. He got weary. When he sat by the Jacob's well in John chapter 4 and he met that woman from Samaria, it says he was wearied with his journey. He needed refreshment, water from the well. And he talked about other water from another well. You see, Jesus knew in his experience the limitations of the human body. It gets tired. And Jesus was no different in that respect. He got tired. He got hungry. When he was tempted for 40 days in the wilderness, he hungered. And of course the devil used that as a point of temptation. Well, if you're hungry, you're the Son of God, make the stones into bread. But Jesus got tired. Jesus got hungry. He got thirsty. From the cross, he cried out, "I thirst." He grew weary. And he experienced, and you've got to understand this and accept this, he experienced real pain. Because he was the Son of God, because he is the Lord from heaven, he didn't cancel out all the things that the human body experiences. He experienced pain. When he was scourged, he experienced pain. There was no off switch. He experienced pain. When they drove that crown of thorns upon his head, he experienced pain. When they drove the nails through his hands and his feet, he experienced pain. And the spear in his side. He is the man, Christ Jesus. You know, the Christmas carol, once in Royal David City, he's got a verse that says this, For he is our childhood's pattern, day by day, like us, he grew. He was little, weak, and helpless. Tears and smiles, like us, he knew. Hallelujah. He knew all the limitations of the human body. He knew the trials and the testing. The Word was made flesh. And it's here. It's here. When Jesus is in this time of weakness, physical weakness, He's tired, he's asleep. That Satan attacks, these are satanic forces that are unleashed upon the Sea of Galilee as that boat makes its journey across to the other side. Satan attacks. They're satanic forces. What did we read from Ephesians? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The rulers of the darkness of this age and so on. They're there. And this is what was unleashed against that boat with Jesus in it. This was unleashed by the satanic attack. The devil didn't want him getting to the other side to fulfill that ministry in a needy area where that man Legion was. He didn't want anything being introduced there. He'd got control there. He'd got some nice things going on there from his point of view. Satan. And he was going to stop Jesus getting there. This was a satanic attack. How do I know that? Because when they were crossing that lake, or the Sea of Galilee, and the winds blew, and the waves raged, were stirred up, Jesus rebuked the wind. He rebuked the wind. There was a personage behind that. Satanic forces. Where was Jesus when this all happened at the beginning? He was at the back of the boat. He was asleep. The disciples were in panic. They didn't know what to do. The boat, it says, was filled with water. It was about to sink. Humanly speaking, when this great storm arose, there seemed to be no way of escape. Jesus seemed to be vulnerable. And the disciples cry out, "Master, do you not care that we perish?" What a thing to say to Jesus. Don't you care? He's on earth, he's making that journey, that pathway, day by day, month by month, to the cross, to Golgotha, to die for our sins. Don't you care? Of course he cares. Of course he cares. He's the Lord from heaven. The New Testament says, "Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you." "Master, don't you care that we perish?" Now that word perish, it's not really the right word. It is, but it's not the right word. Not for me. It's a word we've come across before in the Greek. "Master, don't you care that we are being destroyed?" Yes, you see, we looked at this before. Satan is a destroyer. In the book of Revelation, he has another name, Abaddon in Hebrew, but in Greek it's Apollyon. And it's Apollumi here that the disciples are saying, "We're being destroyed." And Satan is Apollyon. And the word Apollyon means the destroyer. That's Satan. Who is Satan? He's the thief that comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, Jesus said in John chapter 10. You know, we can understand the disciples getting in a state of panic. We've probably been in situations ourselves where we've experienced something terrifying and we've panicked. Destructive forces hitting their lives. Listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus and you'll see and you'll know what's going on. Jesus arose and he rebuked the wind. He treated it as if it were a person, and behind it there was a person. Satan and the host of darkness. He rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, and again we've come across this word before, he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." That sounds gentle, doesn't it? "Peace, be still." What he actually said was, "Peace, be muzzled." We came across that word before. "Be muzzled. Shut it." And immediately, the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Does Jesus care? Of course he cares. Hallelujah. That's why he came. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, the first epistle of John chapter 3 and verse 8, he says, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil," that he might destroy the works of the destroyer. Hallelujah. That's why he trod the pathway alone to Golgotha's hill. That's why he laid down his life. That's why he endured the death of the cross, that he might take our sin and deal with it, pay the price for it, and take hold of death and rise again
bringing eternal life to all those who put their faith and trust in him. And to declare, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in me shall never die. And so he speaks into our lives today. And he would speak in our lives today. To the storms that would rage and wreak havoc in our lives. With Jesus in your life. With Jesus in the boat. He's going to rebuke the wind. Hallelujah. And we're going to know that peace. And all the taunts of the enemy be muzzled. And Jesus asked them questions. And he says, why are you so fearful? Now that word fearful is not the strong word for fear, terror. It's a word which we often use, timid. Why are you so timid? Why are you so easily frightened by what the enemy's doing? In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, it declares to us, God has not given us, it says in the Authorised Version, the spirit of fear. But it's the same word. God hasn't given us the spirit of timidity. Easily spooked, easily frightened. But of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. And in the first verse of John, verse 4 and 18, it says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that fears, and the disciples were full of fear, and we might have been times when we've had that fear. He that fears is not made perfect in love. If we love him, we'll know that he will care for us. Do you care? Yes, I do, says the Lord. Hallelujah. How is it with us? Jesus said, how is it with you? How is it that you have no faith? He said to the disciples. They were learning. And as we go on with the Lord, we can learn too, to have faith in him and to trust him. In verse 41 it says, after Jesus had said these things to them, it says then, and they feared exceedingly. They realised how far short they'd fallen. And they said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. They feared exceedingly. In Matthew's account of the story, it says they marvelled. In Luke's gospel, it says, and they wondered. It's actually the same word in the Greek. Wondered, they marvelled. This was only the introduction to the story. I don't know why, when they organised the chapters in the Bible, they cut that bit off from the next bit to start a new chapter with Legion. The whole of the thing that happened on the lake was because Jesus was going to the Gadarene country to encounter Legion. And to do a work in his life. The devil tried to stop him. It should all be part of the same story, you see.
It was an attempt by the devil and by the hosts of darkness. The principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of his age and so on. It was an attempt by them to stop what was going to happen when Jesus got there. And sometimes things happen in our lives and we don't really understand why that should happen. And it might be the enemy's trying to stop something happening further up the pathway that he doesn't want you to be involved in. And as soon as Jesus lands from the ship, it says, immediately, there he was, the demoniac, the man possessed not just by one demon, but by demons. There he was, met him. As if he'd been driven there from where he normally lived. He lived amongst the tombs and in the mountains. But now he's down by the coast. Something's brought him there, something's driven him there. He's got an unclean spirit, an unclean demon. What you've seen on the lake was satanic hosts. Satan and the forces of the hosts of darkness, the principalities and powers, even in those heavenly places, not in heaven itself. What we see here now is a man that's possessed by demonic spirits. Demons, the actual Greek word daimon, is a sort of half God, half human. And you probably know from what I've talked before that I believe that the demons are the spirits of the Nephilim. The spirits of the Nephilim. They were the ones that were spoken about in Genesis chapter 6 and so on, where it says there were giants in the land. That word giants is Nephilim. When the flood came, they were destroyed. The Nephilim were the offspring of the daughters of men and the sons of God. The sons of God were spiritual beings, angelic beings. And they had intercourse with the daughters of men. And the giants, the Nephilim, were the result. It's all there in the book of Genesis.
And when the flood came, they were destroyed. And their spirits are searching for bodies. They've got to have bodies to occupy. They're not satanic hosts, they're demons. They want to express themselves through a human body. That's why they possess people. And we read about Jesus talking about the demon being cast out of a man. And what does it do? It goes around through the dry places of the earth. It's avoiding the flood. Dry places of the earth, seeking somewhere to go. And eventually it comes back and he finds that place where he had occupied, that person he'd occupied. It's all clean and swept clean, but nothing's taken its place. And he brings seven other evil spirits with him as well. But he's looking for dry places. Jesus makes the point. This man was demon possessed. He lived among the tombs. He lived in the place of death and in the mountains. And it says in the word of God in Luke chapter 8, it says he'd been like that for a long time. He was a man who, because of what he was possessed by, had supernatural strength. They bound him with chains and he just tore them to pieces. Nobody could bind him or contain him. He had this strength that was superhuman. It wasn't his strength, it was the power of the demonic spirits that possessed him. He couldn't be bound, though they tried to do it. He couldn't be tamed, no one could tame him. Speaking about him as if he's some sort of animal. It doesn't say it in Mark's Gospel, but in Luke's Gospel it says that he wore no clothes, he was naked. Power of the enemy, you see. What happened in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned? One thing they knew immediately was they were naked. I believe that when God created him, Adam was created in the image of God. Let us make man in our own image. And I think when, it doesn't say this in the Bible, so it's only what I'm thinking. You can disagree with it, therefore. But I believe that Adam and Eve, in their innocence and purity, had something of the glory of God about them. They were created in the image of God. When they sinned, immediately they became aware that they were naked. There was no covering. They were ashamed. They hid themselves from God. This man wore no clothes. He was naked. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18, where the Lord is writing to the church at Laodicea, he says, I counsel you, verse 18 of chapter 3 of Revelation, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness does not appear. White raiment. That's the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we can know that covering. Praise the Lord. He wore no clothes. He was always in misery and agony. It says he was crying there in the tombs. And that word crying in the tombs, night and day, verse 5, that word crying is actually a Greek word which means shrieking out, screaming, all day long. Power of the enemy within. No peace, you see. No peace. When he saw Jesus, afar off he ran and worshipped him. He was always in this agony. He spent his time cutting himself with stones. You know, people do that today, don't they? We watched it recently on television about teenagers self-harming and so on. It's something from the enemy. There's a misery and there's a torment going on. People don't do that naturally. The enemy is a destroyer. It's destructive. And when this man sees Jesus afar off, he ran and it says he worshipped him. There's something here of the real man inside. Not the demonic powers. There's something here reaching out to the Lord. He worshipped him. Well, there were demonic powers there, and the demonic powers were saying things that he couldn't have known. But they knew. They knew who Jesus was. As we read down in verse 7, it says, and he cried, it's that word again. He screamed out, he shrieked with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that you torment me not. It's not him speaking, it's the demon speaking. Because it says, for Jesus had commanded the demon to come out of the man. Come out, you unclean spirit. And that was the response, the shrieking from that man. And Jesus asked him, what is your name?
And the answer came back, my name is Legion.
A Roman legion, give and take, was about 6,000 men. We know later on 2,000 pigs stampeded down into the lake. This man was possessed by a whole host of demons. There must have been some demonic power in charge who's doing, because it refers to the demon.
But it's a host, he says, Legion is my name. We are many. And he, and he's talking here about the demon, he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And there was that great herd of swine, pigs feeding. And all the demons. Can you imagine the noise going on? All the demons besought him, saying, send us into the pigs, the swine, that we may enter into them. In Luke chapter 8, verse 31, you get a little different perspective from each of the gospel writers, the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke. In Luke 8, 31, it says, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. That's an interesting word. The deep is not the lake. The deep is the Greek word, abysson. The Greek word means the abyss. Abyss literally means bottomless. Bottomless. Without bottom. Abyss. In the book of Revelation, you can read about the bottomless pit. That's where the enemy's going to end up. The bottomless pit. And they said, don't cast us into the deep. Don't cast us into the abyss. They didn't want that final judgment that they know is coming. And in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 8 and verse 29, he says, they say to him, have you come here to torment us before the time? They know that judgment is coming. And they want to be cast out into the pigs. They don't want to be engaged in battle with Jesus. They know what's going to happen. They know the judgments are going to come. Cast out into the pigs. Once we're in the pigs, we're off. And Jesus, forthwith, that word that means straight away, immediately, gave them leave. And they were out into the pigs. They didn't stay in the pigs. The pigs went charging down into the lake and they drowned. But they were out of Jesus' sight and they're off tormenting somebody else somewhere. They don't like water. They were just getting out. The destructive power of the enemy revealed there. And those who were looking after the pigs, they went and told what had happened when they went back into the city. Into the country. And people who are interested, they want to know what's happened. And so they come back. People come from all around. Story's been told. Legion, old Legion has been set free. And they come and they find the man. He's no longer Legion. He's one man by himself. And he's sitting. He's at rest. No more in torment. And he's clothed. No more in that shame of nakedness. And he's in his right mind. No longer crying out, screaming and shrieking. And it says, and they were afraid. And they told them the story of what had happened. What had happened to the demonized, the demoniac, the demon-possessed man. And what had happened to the pigs. And when the story was told of what had happened to the demons, and they'd gone into the pigs, and the pigs had ended up in the lake, and they'd been drowned, they'd been choked. It says, they began, the people from the town, from the city, the people began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Leave us. In other words, they were more concerned about their loss of business than the salvation of this man. They're more concerned about money and property than they are about the salvation of precious souls. Go on, clear off, we don't want you around here. Maybe they were afraid that there'd be a further clean up in the town. And the man wanted to go with Jesus, said, let me come with you. And Jesus said, no, go home. It says to your friends, but it really just means go home to yours, your family. Includes your friends as well. See, Jesus was going back. They didn't want him to stay. They were turning him away. But Jesus had begun a work here, and this man was now going to be the witness to his friends, to his family, of what Jesus had to do. He didn't have 3 years of training before he went out to speak to those that were lost. Jesus was giving this man the authority to go and to share what had happened to him, just his personal testimony, those short moments there, to evangelise the area. Wow.
Don't churches get in a fix these days about you're not qualified enough and you haven't studied enough and this, that and the other? And here's a man who's known Jesus 5 minutes and he's given the task, go to your friends and your family and tell them what the Lord has done for you and what good things he's done. How great things the Lord has done and how he's had compassion on you. And it says he left and began to publish. That's a nice word. We've come across it before, not as publish, but we've come across the root word before. He began to herald. It's just what we do with the gospel. We herald the gospel. He began to herald, to announce what had happened to him. He wasn't going to get into a theological discussion. He was just going to give his testimony. And who it was that had changed his life. And who could dispute the change? Who could dispute the change? Those that knew him. And he began to publish in Decapolis. Now, Decapolis is not a city. Decapolis is the Greek word. Deca is 10. And the polis bit, where we get a word policeman from, the polis bit is the city. It's 10 cities. So he got quite a mission to go on. He was going to travel around the 10 cities of Decapolis and share his testimony, doing the work that the Lord had sent him to do. Oh, and if the Lord could use a man like that, after just a short encounter, what can he do with us? What can he do with us? And what have we got to share? We've got to share what the Lord has done with us. He could share his personal testimony. He was the living evidence. And it says, all marvelled. All that we might have. A bit of marvelling here in Pitsen. Hallelujah. Principalities. Powers. Yep, there were. Demonic spirits. Yes, there were. But Jesus is the mighty victor. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen.